Welcome to 2013 and yet another exciting episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com, and let's get down to some seriously high-tech engineering geeky fun, shall we? All right, who wants the Atari I got for Christmas? Any takers? First bidder on this page, you'll get it in the mail, right quick. I'm not joking. Yeah, I did get an Atari for Christmas this year, and sadly, no, it's not an original version. It clearly has one of those as-seen-on-TV stickers on the box. And getting this Atari for a present this year, it's still in the box and waiting to get shipped. I'm just saying. Maybe your office needs another break room toy? Well, this Atari got me thinking about innovation and the wave of consumer electronics that comes rolling through the various casinos and grand convention center floors at the Consumer Electronics Show every year. Isn't innovation grand? I don't mean to be trite here, but geez, if it wasn't for us engineers pushing the boundaries, trying our best to outdo the competition, or maybe just the guy in the next cube over, would we still be playing with those little pixelated dudes on the Atari? Well, one of the biggest underlying trends of the Consumer Electronics Show coming up next week in Las Vegas is MEMS. They're everywhere, from your smartphone to your television to that gesture-controlled game system that I didn't get for Christmas. This week, we're talking about innovation in the MEMS marketplace. Did you know there is such thing as a MEMS law? It's true. Think Moore's Law, only more MEMS-y. This week, my first guests are Alisa Fitzgerald from AM Fitzgerald and Peter Himes from Silex. We're going to get down to some brass tacks about MEMS designs and how you can get your next MEMS design off its feet and running into the real world. My guests today are Peter Himes, VP of Marketing and Strategic Alliances at Silex Microsystems, and Alisa M. Fitzgerald, founder and managing member of AM Fitzgerald. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here.
So first off, for my audience who doesn't know what both of your companies do, give me an upper level view.
Sure. AM Fitzgerald is a MEMS product design company. We're based in the Bay Area in Burlingame, and we work with companies that are trying to develop new MEMS technology or need new MEMS sensors.
Okay.
And we'll do design, development, and prototyping, and we want to get them to the point of being ready for mass manufacture, at which point we'll transfer their design to a foundry.
Okay, great.
And Silex is a pure-play MEMS foundry, and we're the largest pure-play MEMS foundry in the world, meaning that we only focus on the MEMS manufacturing.
Ah, okay.
And we have a 6-inch and 8-inch line. We're based in Sweden, been in business since 2000. We service, you know, customers worldwide that are either fabless or fab-lite or even some OEMs or IDMs that need specific custom MEMS development.
Interesting. Okay, so recently I read a press release about some really radically different approach to MEMS design that you guys are collaborating on. Tell me more about this.
Well, you might have heard there's a MEMS law that a fellow named Jean-Christophe Eloy quipped several years ago, that the MEMS law is that there is one product, one process. Basically, one design dictates one process in MEMS. He calls this MEMS law, it's something that's created a lot of expense and risk and a long time to market in our industry.
Sure.
And what we're doing is we're going to break the MEMS law and we're going to turn that around. And instead of one product, one process, we're looking at many processes, many products.
I like it. Okay.
Yeah, from a fab perspective, we wanted to come up with this new paradigm for the industry, and we need to work directly with a product company at the beginning in order to come up with this new approach, because the way that MEMS works traditionally is that it's done in this serial fashion. It's development and then prototyping, and then it gets handed off to the foundry, and then we have to struggle to try to recreate what they've done, you know, previously. And this is what makes MEMS so difficult. This is what takes so long to get to market. And this is where a lot of the black magic still happens. So we're really trying to turn this around and collaborate between the foundry and the design house up front in order to come up with a new template for doing this kind of product design.
I like it.
Okay, Elisa and Peter, what kind of applications are you guys looking at for this?
Well, we're interested in OEMs or system integrators that are trying to put MEMS-enabled products forward. And so specific applications would be medical devices, aerospace, industrial. We expect these kinds of sensors to end up in surgical tools, in robotic systems, in the hydraulic system of an aircraft. So we're looking at applications that are somewhat niche, but for which there's a real need for sensors, and these OEMs or these system integrators can't always find the sensors they need.
True.
And many of these, we think that this is actually a whole new segment that we can address through this route, because many of these applications only need, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 sensors.
True.
Which, you know, because these things are so small, that may only be four or five wafers, and you can't support a whole development just for four wafers of product.
Right.
But if you have a different kind of an approach that can support multiple customers, then the economics change and makes it much more reasonable.
Excellent. All right, how about an off-the-cuff question, guys? Most people aren't chefs, but they can make one thing really well. Mm-hmm. What's your one thing?
I have a recipe for pad Thai.
Nice.
That it's not anywhere close to being an authentic Thai version of pad Thai. I've sort of adapted it. It's very peanut buttery, and my friends love it, and they always make me make it for them.
Nice. And Peter?
I always fall back on something my mom taught me a long time ago, which is kind of a toffee candy with almonds and sugar and butter and chocolate, and it's always a favorite.
Now you're talking. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much, Peter and Elisa.
Thank you.
All right, thanks you.
Thank you.
Now, you don't have to take just my word for how cool A.M. Fitzgerald and Silex are. My colleague Brian Moyer recently wrote a very cool article entitled Letting Process Drive MEMS Design. Check out the link on this week's page to read that article from Brian. Now I have a second interview to throw your way this week. And keeping with the MEMS theme, what else do we need for our next utterly fantastic MEMS-enabled project? Design House to help us with our design, check. Foundry to get our MEMS product into reality, check. How about some tools? Those might come in handy. My next interview is with Tom Flynn of Coventor. Tom and I talk about the tricky dance called EDA tools for MEMS designs. It's a slippery slope, folks. But Tom will show you the right way to go. My guest today is Tom Flynn, VP of Sales and Business Development at Coventor. Thank you so much for joining me today, Tom.
Thank you for having me.
So first off, for my audience who doesn't know, what do you guys do?
We make electronic design automation tools for MEMS, and we also make modeling tools for advanced semiconductor process design.
Great. So recently I read a press release a bit about MEMS Plus 3.0. Tell me more about that.
MEMS Plus is a unique platform for accelerating the design of MEMS tools, MEMS design. It allows people to look at all components of a MEMS electromechanical system, including the control circuitry and the fluidic damping effects in a single platform so that you can accelerate the design and have multiple teams all working from the same models, whether it be the people studying the mechanical MEMS component itself, whether it be the people designing the control circuitry or people designing the package.
Okay.
They can all work from the same model, be able to simulate the behavior of the entire device in a single system.
Fantastic. So tell me a little bit about the expansion of your component library. It's gotten a lot bigger recently, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. We have added a number of new elements specific to many of the customers that we've worked with over time.
Nice.
So MEMS Plus is in its third generation, and it's now capturing advanced process or advanced DRIE effects that you'd find in InvenSense, Bosch, ST processes, where you've got very long and thin beams for suspension that might have torsion.
Sure.
In the past, we couldn't model those things, and we've added these new elements. We've worked with other companies that have elements that are very long and very thin in width, and they also have torsion, and we have these higher order shell elements that take care of that kind of thing. And we've also added these advanced brick elements, which are much like low order finite element tools, where you can address virtually any kind of arbitrary shape with this higher order element called a brick element.
Great. All right, Tom, how about an off-the-cuff question? What's your favorite sports team?
Oh, that's a great question. It's the Red Sox.
And the I'm Red almost Sox.
Embarrassed to say it. Go Boston Red Sox.
Very nice. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today, Tom.
Thank you for having us. Take care.
And if you want some further information about Coventor, check out Brian Moyer's article called Degenerates, A Look at Coventor's Element Library. And of course, I've posted a link on this week's Fish Fry page, just in case you want to check it out. And now it's time for my very own nerdy giveaway. This week, I'm extending the giveaway of a brand new Zed board, courtesy of Xilinx. The Zed board is a complete development kit for designers interested in exploring designs using the Xilinx Zinc 7000 all-programmable SoC. The expandability features of this board make it ideal for rapid prototyping and proof-of-concept development. So, what's included in this super cool kit? Well, it includes a Zed board, a 12-volt power supply, a micro USB cable, a USB adapter, a 4 gigabit SD card, Xilinx ISE Webpack software with device locked chip scope license, a getting started guide, and a downloadable documentation and reference designs. So, if you want one of these super awesome kits for your very own, post a comment on this week's page and please include what super cool design you would create with it. This Zed board is super cool, guys, so get posting. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or maybe the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com or post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com. For the week of January 4th, 2013, I'm Amelia Dalton. You've been fried.